This is the Jets High School Football Hour, fueled by Gatorade. Now here's Mike Quick and Matt Sims.
What's up, buddy?
Good morning, Captain.
How you doing, pal?
Doing very well. How are you, sir? Good. How was Thanksgiving?
It was very good. We'll get into the Darianne-New Canaan game in just a little bit. They need to make some changes offensively up there in Darianne.
Yeah.
We've got to get a little more original with the offensive game plan. You have to have Christian Allegro, 6'4", 205-pound free safety. You got to play him out. You got to have him playing offense now. We'll break it down in just a little bit.
Okay, Coach.
What'd you do on Thanksgiving?
Coached in the morning, you know, with the boys at Bosco, and then went home.
Oh, that season's still going on?
That season is still going
on. We're going to break that game down later, Sims. I am all over the Bergen Bosco game today.
Yeah, no doubt. Hopefully you get a pass to actually get on the field.
As of now, I don't, but my good buddy, Dr. Brian Mahoney.
I love it. I hope you get stuck in the parking lot.
Let me tell you something, Sims. You can say whatever you want, you Don Bosco guy.
That's right.
All right? I have already been invited to the Bergen Box. I think it's the Mara Box by Dr. Brian Mahoney. He also said, I heard you don't have a credential yet, and he is offering me up a field pass.
And Bergen Catholic, he also needs a new sweatshirt because he's still wearing that same sweatshirt with 8 holes in it. Please,
working,
Bergen, donate a shirt to this guy.
Well, I wore the Bergen one last time. We're going to have Joe Spagnola, the head coach for Iona Prep. He's going to come by, talk about their Catholic state championship.
Yes,
wild pass. Long Island big school championship game yesterday. Massapequa and Walt Whitman. I'll tell you about that. We talked about Connecticut. Somers Rye. Oh, boy. Those guys are still playing. Come on. Yeah. Thank God Somers won. We'll break it down because if Rye won, I had a major problem with it. And Sims, who is picking the games for you now? All of a sudden, you've gotten good on the second to last weekend.
I know.
You don't even know what your record was, do you?
No, not at all. Not at all. I don't. It's not that like that personal to me like it is to you, so...
Yeah, how come you keep every week? It's 1-0.
Yeah.
It's 2-2. You're into it, Sim.
I know. I
You're
just like busting your chops and we're texting each other.
Of course, the High School Football Show on 98.7 ESPN is presented by All American Ford and Paramus, Hackensack, Old Bridge, and Point Pleasant. Call or shop online at allamericanford.net. We talk about games. We talk about players every week. You know what most people wanted to talk to me about last week?
Your read?
The Sloman's read.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Never has a bad read done more for a company than my Sloman's read last week. It's incredible. We'll try to do that again in the first break. Monty, hit it. Here we go. Sims, it was a game that was played under a shadow with the passing of Drew Gibbs, the legendary Ramapo coach. We lost him 11 days ago. So they moved the Section 1.
Surreal.
The North Group 1, Section 1, Group 4 championship.
Go.
They moved it back a week. And I'm going to just tell you this. I watched it online last night. That was, without question, one of the best high school football games I've ever seen. The final score, Greg Russo's Northern Highland team comes back and wins 35-30. You watched it. 8 lead changes. The final 3 minutes, you won't find a more exciting final 3 minutes in any sporting event ever.
Rarely does a game actually like fulfill and satisfy the hype. And I had Brett Kniff over the house last night.
My man.
Yep.
One of the great competitors of all time.
One of the great
time.
Players in Bosco
would always throw up in the
history.
Garbage can before the games.
Yep.
I loved it.
Yep.
Kniff was great.
So he was there. We had him over with his wife. We had a great time. And, you know, I'm like, hey, we're going to watch Ramapo Northern Highlands on this stream. And during the game, he goes, wow, like, I got to tell you, I am extremely invested in this game right now. This is the most entertaining football I have. And I'm like, this is great. It really was. It was like sitting at home watching like a national championship game.
Well, Brian
it had
Gibbs,
that atmosphere.
Brian Gibbs took his dad Drew's hat, put on that old green Ramapo
I saw
hat.
That.
And I thought it was very interesting during the week. He goes, my dad, coach, he's coaching this game. I'll call the plays. But he's coaching the game. And I'll tell you what, Drew Gibbs coached a hell of a game.
He definitely did.
He really did. And the quarterback play, sensational on both sides.
Oh, my God. I mean, Enzo and Jack Russer. I mean, just Enzo Arjona, or according to them, Arjona.
Yeah.
Arjona.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Jack Russer, unbelievable show by both of them. We've been talking about them all season about how they are just like two of the better quarterbacks in that league, in the state. And they gave us just a phenomenal show. And I'm just saying it right now. I know Jack is a little thin and all that, but dude is a Division I football player by what I saw last night.
Sims.
I mean, the throws across the field, the throws down the field, the running ability. It was just truly a phenomenal show by him at quarterback on multiple plays. And then Enzo just playing tough, being resilient, continuing to lead his team, and just, you know, crucial play after crucial play, broken tackles and running, like just running strong. Like you could tell that he was tired as hell too at the end of the game.
Yeah.
Just extremely impressive by both those young men. You know, extremely proud to have been able to watch both of them.
In my breakdown, I kind of broke them down. We'll get into the numbers, but I just wrote one word next to both of them: poise.
Yeah,
they
absolutely
had incredible poise in huge moments.
Definitely, absolutely. And that's something that we know is very difficult, especially when you are a young man, you know, at 16, 17, 18 years old to do. And you can see, like, they had more poise than their coaches did when they went to the sidelines on timeouts and stuff like that, because those coaches were freaking out, and it was great.
You know, but it's easier to play in it than coaching it. You know that.
There's a little more freedom to it.
14-10 at the half, Northern Highlands. Let's pick it up with 3:14 left in the game. Charlie Spiragno, 5-yard touchdown run. Number 22, the guy flies. He's lightning quick. Also caught a check down from Enzo and went in there 28-24. But back comes Jack and the Green Raiders. 1:14 left. A beautiful throw to Ben Robinson on a 4th-and-5 from the 23. Point after no good. Rampo 30-28.
And that throw was amazing. They should have scored 5 plays prior to that. It actually worked in their favor that they had to throw the touchdown on 4th down to 4 more clock, which still ended up, you know, biting them in the butt after a really poor kickoff following that. But great throw, and again, just one-on-one matchups, they really made, you know, Northern Highlands pay for that.
You know what I like about this receiver on Northern Highlands, Kyle Major? You know what I like about him?
Yeah.
He came to Northern Highlands to play quarterback. He was beaten out by Enzo, and he scored the game-winning 15-yarder. They get the 35-30 lead, and then Jack brings them right back down the field.
Yeah.
And I think they got to within the 28-yard line and a sack at the end of the game.
Yeah, yeah. And I think the disappointing thing, too, as well, is just it was a sack versus a 3-man rush, and it kind of showed as well, like, throughout the game that just Rampo didn't quite have just, like, the hogs play in and play out to withstand Northern Highlands. Northern Highlands is the better team. Northern Highlands was the more physical team. And, you know, they are the better matchup as far as the football gods go for Irvington for next week.
I thought Ramapo's play on 3rd and 4th down was terrific in this game. I mean, big first downs on 3rd and 4th down.
I mean, you don't see 50%, you know, conversions on 3rd down in the pros. And it seemed like Ramapo was, like, operating at, like, 80% through the entire game. It was unbelievable.
Sims Complete has to figure out a way. If Jack can get some lower body strength, he's a major quarterback. Because Matt, I was blown away. You told me he was fast.
Right,
I didn't realize he was like Usain Bolt fast.
Even Brett Kniff, you know, who can run.
God.
During the game, he goes, whoa, this guy can fly.
The touchdown
and
that
I said,
got called
like,
back.
Hey, Bergen County, 100 and 200 meter champ. So you don't do that by just, you know, jogging well. You know?
Yeah, no, he ain't jogging, man.
Yeah, he ain't jogging. He is running. I mean, he must be exhausted today. I can't tell you just how proud I am, you know, to say that I'm a coach or to be a part of his life and to help him to be where he is right now. You know, I know it hurt my soul last night seeing him lose that game.
Yeah.
But, man, I just...
He didn't lose the game. They just didn't win.
They just didn't win. You're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah, he
exactly.
didn't lose that
well
game.
Said.
They just didn't win.
It was a great show. It really was. And even the announcer said it the best, too.
Dave Resnick did a great job.
It's
on
one
the
of
call.
Those games where you're disappointed that one team has to lose.
Yeah.
Because it could have been one of those things like just keep playing all night and we would have just kept watching.
Yeah.
It was fantastic.
Jack finished the game 22 of 38 for 283 and 2 touchdowns on the ground, 14 carries, 77 yards, and 2 scores.
Probably like 7 drops, too.
Did have some drops, although I will say this, one of the best high school catches.
Yeah, Landon DePrimo
DePrimo.
Greatest one-handed grab we've seen in high school football.
Because there was great coverage on the play, too.
He was on him like a glove.
It was unreal.
Yeah, it was great. Landon, don't spike the ball so hard next time after that catch, though.
Oh, God, what a catch. Enzo, the Monmouth recruit, now he still has another game. They'll play next Friday, next Saturday at Rutgers, 4 p.m. against Irvington. Enzo, 12 of 19, 230 yards and 3 scores. Here's the big number, 22 carries, 109 yards and 2 touchdowns.
And physical, 109
physical,
yards.
Physical.
Like breaking arm tackles down the field multiple times. And you could see that he was physically exhausted. I mean, both these quarterbacks that are getting up, like, oh my God. Like,
no doubt.
But Enzo, just wow, what an impressive show for him. And, you know, dude, get your rest because you're going to have to do that again next week if you want to win that championship.
No doubt. I think we're going to call Greg Russo during the week. We're going to get Russo on the show next Saturday before their game. He'll come on because we told him earlier in the year we'd bring him back on. Tough night for the Grusser boys because A.J. Rodriguez gets hurt, we think, for DePaul.
Right.
He started the game for DePaul in the Parochial B Championship against Red Bank Catholic. He doesn't finish it. Pat Grusser, the sophomore, comes in, had some moments. But Alex Brown continued the magical run with his mom passing away 2 weeks ago. His game-winning touchdown late in the third quarter from 2 yards out gives Red Bank Catholic all they'll need in the 13-8 victory against DePaul. If you like defense, it was a great game. If you like offense, it was ugly.
Yeah, but that's championship football sometimes, too, as
That's DePaul football.
And that's DePaul football. And, you know, credit to Red Bank. Match the physicality of DePaul that we've seen from the other, you know, group four teams throughout the season.
What'd you think of Alex Bauman, number 14?
Whoa. I mean,
wow.
Unbelievable player. And really, just in general, I was so impressed by how well coached Red Bank was. They never seemed to be out of position at all in the run game, in the pass game.
Yep.
And I thought for Pat, you know, Jack's younger brother, just a great experience for him to realize that, like, he's not that far off from being ready to play.
Yeah.
And now he needs, like, a really big offseason to go and dominate that league next year.
Now we just need the state to do the right thing and stop worrying about size of schools and get Red Bank Catholic and DePaul.
I would have loved to have seen Red Bank and DePaul in our Group 4 playoff bracket this year. That would have been the most unbelievable bracket in the state of New Jersey, for sure. I mean, just Red Bank is impressive, dude.
No doubt.
I mean, they got two tackles that are like 6'5", like 290 pounds.
And think about this, too, Sims. And Donovan Catholic smoked Red Bank Catholic.
Right.
And Donovan Catholic in that first half against Bergen Catholic. Donovan Catholic can play up here.
It was questionable. I mean, a lot of people.
It's time for the state to change it.
Yeah. And it's time, too, for some of these schools as well to just, like, come on, like, buck up. Let's go. Let's play for it all, you know, and don't worry about everyone getting an award like Connecticut's concerned with.
We're going to get to that next week. Monty, music change. Here we go. Sims, you told me that Cranford had no chance of losing.
No chance.
What do you think happened yesterday?
No capes. Tell me.
They lost 53-14. First loss of the year. Wes Morris scores on all seven of their possessions and a defensive touchdown. Now, the Cranford line is gigantic.
Yeah.
It was like giant people against small people. 408 total yards for Wes Morris to 182. Running back Stefano Montella, 17 carries, 145 yards, and a touchdown. Also caught a touchdown pass from Trevor Hillier, the quarterback, 7 of 11, a buck 62. Cranford came in averaging 39 points per game, and Wes Morris just shut him down. Wes Morris finishes the year 10-3. Cranford's loss is in the North Group 3 Championship. They finish 11-1.
Unbelievable year for Wes Morris. I mean, just a fantastic game. You know, extremely entertaining, too, from their side of the game. And then, hey, Cranford, you know, sorry. You know, that's just – that's how the cookie crumbles, unfortunately, sometimes after having a great year. You know, you can never underestimate any opponent, for sure.
Sims, if you win a sectional title, and now in New Jersey they've gone to the group champs,
right.
The North champ and the South champ.
Right.
Can you feel good about your season if you finish 11-1, you won a sectional title but didn't win the group title? When the six reporters in the Star-Ledger all pick Cranford to win easily.
Yeah.
Is it a good or a bad year, or is it just okay?
I think it's one of those where it's a good year with, like, a huge level of disappointment hanging over it.
Who has more disappointment, DePaul at 9-3 or Cranford at 11-1?
Ooh.
I don't think it's close.
I'll say Cranford just because it's 11-1 and they missed one game from being undefeated. Whereas DePaul, we knew what they were fighting against this entire year of the letdown of not winning a championship when we thought that they were a championship potential worthy team in the group above them.
Yeah. North Group 1, Cedar Grove. They score with 2:20 left. Quarterback Alfonso Lombardi, 30 yards to Nick Iacone. The extra point by Chris Babcock, 13-12. Cedar Grove finishes 12-1 with the 13-12 victory over 10-2 Park Ridge.
And Cedar Grove, man, what a program.
Great.
It just seems like every other year they are in the championship, you know, winning it. It's unbelievable what they do over there.
It's a standard, man.
It really is. It's a standard. It's in that community, and with all those big schools around them, they seem to just hold it strong for sure. It's really impressive.
You know who the only team I own a prep loss to this year so far, Sims?
Yes, I do.
Who is that?
That's Don Bosco Preparatory.
Don Bosco Prep.
In Ramsey, New Jersey.
They won the CHSFL championship against Monsignor Farrell 49-15. When we come back, we'll be joined by their head coach, Joe Spagnola.
Who'd you pick for that game?
What happened?
Who'd you pick?
And we will break down their Catholic League state championship.
Go to commercial.
With St. Joe's of Buffalo. We'll be right back.
This is the Jets High School Football Hour, fueled by Gatorade. Now here's Mike Quick and Matt Sims.
Here we go. Time for the Gatorade Player of the Week, presented by Gatorade. Greatness starts with G. Each week during the high school football season, the New York Jets and Gatorade will honor a player of the week, and the player will receive a $1,000 donation from the Jets and Gatorade in their name to support their high school football program. And this week's winner, he's a Sims complete guy, but he puts on an Iona Prep uniform. 6'3", 230-pound junior quarterback, a Johnny Shepherd. In the CHSFL 49-15 victory over Monsignor Farrell, he led them to their first title since 2008, ripping up the airways for 17 of 22 for 220 yards and three scores, and a bull-like 10 carries, 75 yards on the ground, and two touchdowns. Did you ever think, Matthew, that when he replaced Darius Wilson, who started this year for William and Mary, that he would be as good as he is, as quick as he has become?
Maybe not as quick as he's become, but I have definitely said to him on multiple workouts that we've had, you know, over the past 2 years, I was like, listen, Johnny, you are an extremely talented person, and when you really put your mind to it, you are going to be an unbelievable football player. And that was really a pep talk that I gave him, because he'd have a great workout, and then he'd have a workout where, like, you know, a little below his standard. You know, and I said, hey, you're a kid that should be in one of these like Elite 11 things one day, you know, like Jack Russer, that should be dominating this league that you're playing in. And he goes, you're right, coach. I'll make more of an effort to get after it more. Dude works extremely hard. His father is committed just like he is too as well. You know, and he doesn't push a Johnny
at all. Football
family. Football family. You're absolutely right. And his brother played at Ole Miss.
Yep.
You know, he played defensive end linebacker for them over there. A Johnny Shepherd, extremely impressive young athlete.
Well, just about three and a half.
Young man.
Big man. In just 3.5 hours, he'll be putting on that shoulder pad for the last time this season. We're joined by the head coach of Iona Prep, Joe Spagnola, in his sixth year, as they will host St. Francis of Buffalo today out there at noon on Wilmot Road. Coach Spags, how are you, buddy?
Hey, Mike. Thanks for having me.
Oh, no problem, pal. We got Sims here, too. Coach, great program through the years, and there was always that knock on Iona Prep. Man, they can play in the regular season, but they can't ring the bell. You finally rung the bell last Saturday night. How much of a relief was it?
Yeah, I mean, none of the guys on our team were part of any of those semifinal losses, you know, so we told the kids that, you know, this has nothing to do with you, you know, and, you know, they didn't pay it much mind, and we were just focused week by week on just taking care of business and dealing with adversity and dealing with everything that comes with a, you know, high school football season, and that's what we did.
So we always discuss, Coach, just, you know, obviously the skill players, the stars of the team, you know, Shepherd and Jolly. Who are, you know, a player or two that are the unsung hero for your championship run?
Yeah, you know, I'm going to say our offensive and defensive lines. You know, I think our line play has been the key for us all season long. You know, Scott Becker, Jorge Ruiz, Justin Federico, those guys up front on the O-line, and then Capri Martin and Chris Foster and Jason Vavrika and Jalen Hicks on the D-line. They've really given us a level of physicality that's helped us throughout the season.
Coach, you had said, and it's important to you, you want to be the best in the CHSFL, but you don't want to stop there. You're trying to build something that mirrors the Catholic programs in the state of New Jersey. You open the season with a loss to Don Bosco, which Matt has said, and as you know, he's a coach on that staff. He said if that game, and correct me if I'm wrong, Matt, was played later in the year, you thought Iona would have a good chance to beat you.
Yeah, I think it's a totally different game if it's played, you know, today. Just with the matchup that it is. And I feel like Iona is finally hitting their stride, but so are we as well. And I feel like it would have been an even more fun matchup that way as well. But that's football.
You're putting a lot of guys into colleges. Coach Joe Spagnuolo joins us from Iona Prep on the Division I, 1AA, 2, and 3 level. You have a young man, and the last time I think I can remember Nick Saban coming up here to offer somebody who plays in the secondary in the Tri-State was Minkah Fitzpatrick. Ellis Robinson, he has now been offered. He's your sophomore corner. How do you manage a sophomore who has an offer from Alabama?
First off, Ellis is a tremendous young man. He's got great parents that have kept him grounded through this whole process. He's very mature for his age, but he has to deal with it every week. I mean, he's got a target on his back. If anyone even completes a hitch on him, he's getting overrated chance, and he's getting all kinds of criticism thrown his way. For me, it's more about protecting him and making sure that he's comfortable and not trying to do too much, and he can just play his game and try to be a normal 16-year-old kid. But the talent's very evident, and we're excited to have two more years with him.
And who's like a young player that, you know, maybe is getting time right now, but next year we should see him kind of come into the fold as being one of your future superstars of your program?
I think it's our young D lineman. Capri Martin was a junior this year, first year starter for us. We think he's got an opportunity to be a dominant player. And then the guy next to him, Jalen Hicks, is a sophomore. He's about 6'2", 270 pounds, a black belt in karate, and can really get off the ball. We think with a young foundation up front, the future is bright with those guys.
Coach, Mike Ryan has been sensational at wideout. Michael Senator has been playing great down the stretch. But how in the world will you replace one of my favorite players the last 3 years in the Tri-State, number 7, Justin Jolly, 59 catches, 958 yards, and 8 touchdowns. You used him in a lot of different positions this year. How do you replace a guy like that, and how much will you miss him at 3 o'clock this afternoon?
Yeah, Justin's one of my all-time favorites. He's just an unbelievable competitor. He wants to compete in everything he does. He competes in practice. He'll compete during a walkthrough if you push the right buttons on him. He's been everything to us this year, whether it's, taking handoffs, taking jet sweeps, catching the ball in the passing game, isolating one-on-ones. He even plays some defense for us. He does it all for us. He's definitely our tone setter, on the offensive side of the ball.
And then, of course, Coach, I'm Matt Sims and it's Sims Complete QB, just tell me about a Johnny and just, everything as far as just his first year starting and, where he started and where he's come from during this entire season.
Well, first off, he has a very good quarterback trainer. I'll start with that.
Totally agree.
Phil? Phil? Is it Phil?
Yeah.
I got an opportunity on a big stage to thank Matt and Phil for everything that they do for Iona Prep quarterbacks. Johnny's the third quarterback to go through Sims Complete, and I highly recommend them. And there's no one I'd rather mentor our quarterback.
Thank you, Coach.
Other than myself and our staff. So relationship will continue. Will continue for years to come. But as far as the Johnny goes, Johnny did not have it easy. Usually a season ends in November and you start mentoring your next quarterback for the following year. I was coaching Darius Wilson until the end of April last year,
right?
With our season getting moved to the spring. I like to think that our spring season helped our freshmen, our current freshmen in college. I think we have 6 or 7 freshmen starting in college right now at the Division I to Division III levels. I like to think that spring season helped get them ready for college football. But as far as the Johnny goes, the kid missed the second half of his freshman year because of COVID. His sophomore year of COVID, he was basically a backup where, we did our best to get him ready, but, nothing beats real reps in real time. And then he didn't have a traditional off season. We kind of took a couple weeks off after our spring season ended and started all over again. And that's when he was anointed the next guy up. And he's done an amazing job. I think the key for Johnny's been he is an unbelievable football player. He's a great quarterback, but he's an unbelievable football player. And what he's lacking right now as far as the time he needs with the progressions and getting his footwork right and doing all the little things, he's making up with it for it with his football acumen and his instincts on the football field.
If he runs for 12 yards today, he'll become the first quarterback in Section 1 to throw for 2,000 and rush for 1,000 in a season. In about 3.5 hours, you're going to host St. Francis of Buffalo. They come in at 7-3, have a Pitt recruit at defensive end, a pretty talented running back. What is this a matchup that if you're a football fan, do you want to be at Iona to watch this game today? Like, is this game going to get football fans excited?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we're the only two teams in New York State at the big boy level that haven't lost a football game in state this year. You know, they lost to Archbishop Hogan out of Ohio, powerhouse program. They lost to Cathedral Prep in PA. They have one more out-of-state loss, I think, in Ohio. But they've kind of run through the northern part of our state. They have really good high-end players. At the end, the special kid, I'm really excited to see our two or three linemen go toe-to-toe with him today. It'll be a huge challenge for them. They're a very well-coached team. Coach Smith's been around, I think, about 39 years there. So, you know, he's been around the block. He knows what he's doing. He's got a great staff, and it's going to be an exciting day on the Hill.
There was nothing like it growing up. I think one of the reasons I do what I do now is because of the Iona Prep New Rochelle Thanksgiving Day football game on Channel 11, WPIX, Marty Glickman, and they love their football at Iona Prep. They love their Thanksgiving Day football, but because the Catholic League playoffs now, they don't play on Thanksgiving anymore. Coach, you had 250 alums watching practice on Thanksgiving. That had to be pretty cool.
It was awesome. I mean, I'm a 98 alum, so a ton of guys from my generation came back. To link them with our current players was just amazing. You know, it was a great feeling for me and the rest of the alumni on our staff that take a lot of pride in what we do and always keep in touch with, you know, our brothers from the past. So it was kind of being able to unite the old school and the new school. The kids got a real kick out of it. You know, the alumni were on the field literally pointing out, oh, that's Ellis Robinson, oh, that's Justin Jolly, oh, that's a Johnny Shepherd. You know, so they got to kind of get an up close and personal look at them. And it's a special moment that, you know, it's only created because we got this far in the season. And I'm just blessed to have it.
You played two wild games with St. Anthony's this year. They had you down 20 in the third quarter in the regular season. You come back and win 35-34. Then you beat them in overtime on Ajani's overtime touchdown run. What I loved, and Matt, you know this kid, Dante Torres, who is incredibly talented, the quarterback from St. Anthony's, just a junior. He came out after the game and said, I guarantee St. Anthony's wins the CHSFL championship. I would bet, because I know you look for things, at about 3:15 today, that'll be posted on your locker room wall.
Yeah, I mean, first off, Dante's an unbelievable
player. He's a great player.
And we're going to have to play him again next year, so I'm not going to give him any bulletin board material back.
That's right.
Darn it!
Smart move.
Because Coach Mnuch and St. Anthony's are going to be at the top of that list next year again when the dust settles. And he's doing an amazing job out in South Huntington. You know, they're back. You know, they have a ton of talent there. And they have a lot of kids coming back next year. And those were definitely two of our most challenging games all season long. They do a great job out there. And I'm just excited, you know, once we get this one done to continue that rivalry because it's really good football on both sides.
Well, Coach, it's been a great season. Make it a special one today at 12 o'clock as Iona Prep hosts St. Francis of Buffalo, who comes down here at 7-3. Good luck, Coach, and thanks for joining us for a little bit on game day.
Good luck, Coach. Thank you.
Mike, Matt, thanks for having me, guys. Enjoy the holiday weekend, and thanks again.
All right, pal.
Thank you, brother.
Good luck. Joe Spagnuolo, head coach, Iona Prep. They'll win today.
Well, I wanted to ask him as well, too, what he thinks about going forward for the future of his program. Is he going to continue to play teams like us, you know, or in the Big North to start the season?
Yes.
I think he should.
Yes.
And I think everyone over there in New York should try to do it more often.
They just have to start earlier, Matt. Chris Hardart, if you're listening, let everybody in the Catholic Football League start a week earlier. It will help tremendously. It will build the brand of the CHSFL.
This is the Jets High School Football Hour, fueled by Gatorade. Now here's Mike Quick and Matt Sims.
It just blows my mind. I hear Burton Catholic all over this show. Does Don Bosco know this show exists? They're doing spots. Why isn't Bosco involved in this show,
know.
Sims?
I'm not really sure.
You went to Bosco.
I guess I am the advertisement. Good job, Monty.
Well done, Monty.
Good job, Monty.
Well done.
He knew I was going to say something stupid like that.
Oh, my God. That is crazy.
Damn it.
That
He's
is
on
crazy.
To me.
All right, Mont, hit it. Wild game. Long Island Big Boy Championship out at Hofstra yesterday. Sitting in the Lantex Suite, Sims. Food, drinks, a lot of fun, a lot of people entertaining a bunch of the clients out there. It was a wonderful time, and it was an incredible game. I'll tell you this. Ryan Heidrick, the quarterback for Massapequa, was sensational. Just absolutely sensational. First four possessions, they come right down the field. They score one rush, three touchdown passes, and three different receivers. The OC, Brian Rath, called a terrific game. I mean, this thing's over. But there was this guy named A.J. Evans for Walt Whitman. And to say this guy was an athletic fire hydrant is an understatement. They said he's 5'8", 180 pounds. I think he was closer to 5'7", 200. A muscle with legs, just running around. 17 carries, 219 yards, and two scores. His 65-yard touchdown run early in the third, the balance he showed on that, Sims. The last time I saw a running back with balance like that on Long Island, North Babylon's Jason Gwaltney.
Impressive.
Jason Gwaltney, who everybody said was going to be in the Hall of Fame, didn't have a commitment to football the way he should have. Went to West Virginia, left, came back, left. But, hey, enough about him.
Moving on.
I like this Evans guy. Also had a 74-yard kickoff return, 301 all-purpose yards. But it's 35-21 in the fourth quarter. Game over. Hold on. Walt Whitman quarterback Nick Bhatani, 18 of 34, 246 yards and two scores. It's 35-21, 9 yards to Tyreek Mays McCoy. I love that name. And then after a punt, they get it right back. He hooks on a quick out, 78 yards to Brandon Ivy. The dude Ivy can fly. Right down that right sideline, 35-35. But here comes Ryan and the Dale, Massapequa. Oh, my God, I said the Dalers. It's Farmingdale. The Chiefs, back they come. Get it 2 seconds left. Now they're playing at Hofstra. I don't think they should play the games at Hofstra because they don't have college football there. But they do. They put in the college goalposts, which are tighter. 30-mile-an-hour wind. Out trots freshman kicker Alex Chalemi. One field goal attempt all year. Missed it. Oh, boy. But this one, the kick is good from 20. Hits the upright. Doink! And goes in.
Woo!
But now, he was also 55 of, or 53 of 55 from extra points this year.
Yeah.
But everyone's like, we knew we had it. We knew we had it. Hit the upright. Went in.
Right.
They win a wild one, 38-35 with no time left. First title for Massapequa in 27 years. Way to go, Shippus and the boys out there at Massapequa. Long Island Class 3 championship. Plain Edge with 19 points in the third quarter in a span of 5 minutes and 30 seconds. Beat East Islip. Travis Shaver, the coach's son, was terrific in the game. How about this, Sims? The final 9 minutes and 4 seconds, Plain Edge, 17-play drive, took the entire clock. How did they seal it? On a 4th and 25, Shaver picked up 27 on the ground. Dove for the final two. First down, go home, everybody.
Man.
So right now, going into today, Nassau County leads Suffolk County 2-0.
I like it.
Here we go. Music change. Dramatic. I am
very
so
dramatic.
Upset as we go to Connecticut.
Yeah.
For the 94th time. And I love Lou Marinelli. You know that.
Yeah.
Like, Lou Marinelli is my guy. Seeing all the guys.
He's
oh, by
dude.
The way, his son Johnny Marinelli taking the job at UConn. He's going to work for Jim Mora. And so is our buddy EJ.
Man.
So they're putting a staff together up there at UConn,
yeah.
But they got to get a conference. They need to get a conference. I'm yelling at Marinelli during the game on Thanksgiving morning. He's on his dad's sideline. I don't know how he's coaching for UConn, but he still has an Illinois shirt on.
Yeah.
But this will be his last time he coaches there this weekend. I said, you have to offer Christian Allegra. 6'4", 205, free safety, 4'5", athletic, dunks basketballs, backwards, the whole thing. Well, he was the best player on the field by far, but they didn't win.
Mm-hmm.
They lost 12-7. Have you ever heard of this? In a good weather, I mean, it was the most beautiful Thanksgiving Day football weather of all time. Even Jackie wasn't complaining. It was she was fine with it, okay? New Canaan won the game 12-7 and punted 10 times.
Sounds like ball control
10 times. The Darien defense was great. The New Canaan defense was better.
Well, clearly the punter did a great job, too, of flipping field position the entire game.
Well, here's Sim. Boy, you know the game. They gave Chad Russo the MVP. He had 3 sacks. He was really good. Number 12. They say he's a linebacker. He's a defensive end. Comes in off the edge.
Right.
I would have given the MVP to Ty Groff. He's the kicker punter. Mm-hmm. He was sensational. He was sensational. Here's the thing. If New Canaan wins and New Canaan plays, they're now the number 2 seed. They play Southington Tuesday night. Mm-hmm. And if Darien, they're now the 3 seed, beats Hamden, they play again Sunday. My brother Paul's running around saying, no, we'll beat them the next time. Really? How?
Yeah,
how? Unless you make some changes. Like, I don't understand when you have a guy like Christian Allegro at this time of the year. Okay, I get the single platoon thing. All right?
Yeah.
But at this time of the year, isn't it all hands on deck?
I mean, put your best players on the field to win the game. I don't care what they do. Just get them on the field and make them make plays.
It's Christian Allegro has to play offense for Darien if they're going to somehow get by New Canaan. Well, first they have to get by Hamden.
Yeah,
they have to.
That's right.
And you better protect your quarterback better, too.
Yeah.
Because he was running for his life, Drake, on Thursday. Okay, and then Fairfield Prep now gets the 1 seed. They'll host Greenwich, 7-3 Cardinals. A bunch of 3-loss teams didn't make the state playoffs in Connecticut. That's good. Greenwich wins in overtime against Staples. Whoever won the game was getting in. Tommy Foster in overtime, the 10-yard touchdown run. So that probably made your brother up there in his mansion in Greenwich really happy. So they'll Greenwich is the only team to beat Fairfield Prep this year.
Ooh,
14-7.
I like this build up to it.
Yep, 14-7. Now, big news out of Connecticut. For the first time since, this is mind-boggling, Thanksgiving in 2010, Ansonia has lost a conference football game. They went 103 consecutive games in the Naugatuck Valley Conference until Thanksgiving morning in the 120th edition up there in the valley. Naugatuck beat Ansonia 14-7. The last team to beat Ansonia in the conference?
You tell me. I don't know.
Naugatuck.
Really?
11 years ago.
Wow.
So they're both in the small school playoffs.
Congratulations for Naugatuck.
And here we go. This gets me a little upset, but at least Somers won. Now, I don't like to root when, but Somers beat Rye 14-7. Because Rye had lost to Somers in the sectional championship 2 weeks ago. Some goofy rule, they get in off the loss.
Right.
They win last night, Somers does, 14-7. So they're moving on to the championship against CBA Syracuse Friday in the Carrier Dome at 3 p.m. 95-yard drive late in the game, 4:08 left. Matt Fitzsimmons, 50 yards to Trey Mancuso, and that is the game winner. 14-7. I did not realize CBA Syracuse had dropped down to the A division. One of the greatest high school football games I've ever seen. Mm. Greg Paulus, Syracuse, now the head basketball coach at Niagara, against Ray Rice, New Rochelle. 41-35. Ray gets hurt. And it didn't hurt them as much offensively as it did defensively. Once Paulus realized Ray was out, he started attacking.
Yeah.
They came back to win the game. Paulus that day, I think 330 yards, 3 touchdowns. I did not know they had gone down to the A division. Okay, Sims, when we come back, it's pick time, and I have a tale of the tape for the Don Bosco Bergen Catholic game.
Really looking forward to it.
Oh, what do you mean, Coach?
I don't know.
You're not. You want me to do it?
I mean, you're going to be in the Bergen Catholic suite.
No,
what
I'm
are
not.
Even talking about?
Noah, I said I was invited to the suite, Sims.
Thank you for correcting me, but we all know that you're going to find your way up there.
I will not.
Representing Lantech.
I will. You're funny, Sims. No, I will be there.
I'm here on behalf of Lantech
today. I will not be the host of the War Room show there. I am Mike Quick, ESPN radio report.
Let's
host.
Do this. If we win, right?
Yep.
I should say when we win.
You do
I'll
the show
host,
next. Okay.
I'll host the Bergen Crusade show.
Now I'm going to change my pick because I swear to you, I would love to see you host this show next. I am actually rooting now for
too.
Don Bosco.
I'm sure they would love it too.
I'm still picking it when we come back. Even though I want Bosco to win now, I'm picking it when we come back.
All right.
This is the Jets High School Football Hour. fueled by Gatorade. Now here's Mike Quick and Matt Sims. Now back to the Jets High School Football Hour. Here's Mike Quick and Matt Sims.
The High School Football Show on 98.7 ESPN is presented by All American Ford in Paramus, Hackensack, Old Bridge, and Point Pleasant. Call or shop online at allamericanford.net. Sims, who did the picks for you last week? Because you ain't that good, man.
My wife did it.
Jay Money?
Yeah, that's right.
So she liked Bergen. You won that.
Yep.
I liked Farrell in the upset of Iona Prep. Jay Money went with Iona, so you're 2-0.
That's right.
Pete Gambardella, the Curtis coach, texted me after they beat Tottenville 50-27 and said, tell Sims to get his head out of his you-know-what. I said, I will definitely do that, Pete. Sam Martin, the Temple recruit, 4 first-half touchdowns in that one. You picked New Canaan just because you don't like my family.
What? Get out of here. I picked them because I know they got a better punter.
That's funny, Sims. And then you picked Somers because I picked Rye because I thought they were going to mess the thing up. So Sims for the week. Whoa, give me some good music here. 4-1.
Thanks, man.
23-11 on the season. The Wizard limping to the finish line. 2-3, 27-13. Okay, what do you want to do first? Bergen Bosco or the other two? And we better do this in case I go long.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. Here we go. At 2 p.m. today in East Rutherford at MetLife Stadium, the Parochial A Championship. Don Bosco, the sixth seed, comes in at 8-4. They had a horrible start to the season, 1-3, taking on Bergen Catholic, the one seed who's perfect in 11 games. Back on September 24th, Coach Sims and the boys lost to Bergen Catholic 17-0. You coach the offense?
That's correct.
Shut out that day.
Thank you.
But I will say this. As you look at the Bosco record, they've been in tough games. And tough games on days like this pay dividends. Don Bosco has generated 255 points. Bergen Catholic, 393. Don Bosco has allowed 144 points. Bergen Catholic, just 87. Don Bosco beat St. Augustine via the shutout in the semis 17-0. Nobody will remember that. Bergen Catholic beat St. Peter's Prep 35-10.
No one will remember that either.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay, good.
They will remember. Take it easy, coach.
Yes, seriously.
Take it easy, coach.
Where are you going with this, Michael?
Here we go. Tail of the tape. This is how we break it down. At the quarterback position, I give Bergen Catholic the edge. Steve Angeli, 69% completion percentage to Nick Minicucci's 51. Nick has played better of late. The running back position, Ronnie Heath has been spectacular, especially of late. But the two-headed monster of Butler and St. Floor, edge Bergen Catholic. The wide receiver position, no real superstars, but I give Bergen Catholic the edge because I love the way they block. The offensive line. How am I doing, Sims? He's not even looking at me.
Yeah, I'm not even listening right now.
You're not even listening.
Yeah, this is just vomit. That's all I hear
Bosco,
right now.
I give the edge on the offensive line. The defensive line, good luck. In the first meeting, Bergen Catholic sacked Nick Minicucci 5 times. They have 29 sacks on the season, and you'll be hard-pressed to find a better front four in high school football. Samuels, Brogna, Ross, and Mitchell. The linebacker position, while Timmy Hempspeeder is the best player at the position, Malachi Mercer's not far behind, but the supporting cast, I go linebackers even. The secondary, when you have Notre Dame and Southern Cal in the secondary and 17 interceptions, I give the nod to Bergen Catholic. Specialty teams, Jack Conley, the freshman, has been terrific for you this year. Giancarlo Carbonara has also been great. Missed just one extra point as Sims goes to sleep. Well, you'll get a better sleep tonight because you'll be exhausted from watching Bergen Catholic score touchdowns today. I'm going with BC.
And he'll be in their suite.
No, I won't.
Yeah.
Curtis Erasmus Hall. Who do you like, Sims? PSAL
Curtis.
Championship.
Curtis.
You're going with Curtis.
Curtis.
Erasmus Hall is undefeated, 11-0. Curtis's only loss is to Erasmus Hall. Watch out. Victor Johnson,
yep, Curtis,
the most underrated player in New York City. I'm going with Gambos, guys. I'm taking the Warriors of Curtis. Long Island, Class 2 championship. Garden City, unbeaten. Bellport, one loss. They've played four times through the years of the Long Island championship. Bellport's won all four. Who do you like today, Sims?
I'm going with Garden City.
So
baby.
Am I. They're banged up. Watch out. Big day. Luke Schmidt. Do not know if Jack Cascadon will go today for the Trojans. Has not played the last two. Badney. Suffolk Division II has been better than Nassau Conference II. I just think Garden City is the better team. The High School Football Show on 98.7 ESPN is presented by All American Ford and Paramus Hackensack, Old Bridge, and Point Pleasant. Call or shop online at allamericanford.net. And my final pick of the day, I like, give me a little Rutgers music. I like the Scarlet Knights, a 1.5-point favorite today to beat Maryland and go bowling.
I just want to state, too, as well, that
you're still
Michael
here?
Quick is paid by Bergen Catholic to do their show. So his opinion today really shouldn't mean anything to you listeners out there. It's totally biased. It's inappropriate, and it's unprofessional. And
I love you, Sims. Go Bosco!
Toodles.
This is the Jets High School Football Hour, fueled by Gatorade. Now here's Mike Quick and Matt Sims.